What a joy it is to know the Lord Jesus is coming back. In Ephesians 4, the passage that we're looking at, he speaks of the unity here of truth, and he says there's truth we believe about the Holy Spirit, and there's truth we believe about this one body that the Holy Spirit forms. And then he says there's truth also that the Holy Spirit really brings home to our hearts, so that we have this hope concerning the coming again of the Lord Jesus. He's coming back. And this truth concerning his coming is something that grips the hearts of Christians. Now, I know there are many differences as to prophetic interpretation, as to the details, things that are going to happen, as to just the exact sequence of events. But Christians are united in believing that Jesus is coming back. Jesus, before he went away, said, "If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself." And he said, "I'm coming back. I'm not going to leave you alone forever. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you. And he's going to make this hope of my coming again very real to you. The hope of the coming again of the Lord Jesus." This is something that has always gripped the church. Paul says of the church in Thessalonica, "You turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven." And so from the time that Jesus went away, his disciples have been waiting for him to come back. You remember that the disciples stood looking toward heaven and longing to see him again. And the angels came and they said to the disciples, "Don't keep looking up to heaven. There's work for you to do." In effect, that's what they said. "But this same Jesus, who's gone up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you have seen him go." And so there's the hope, this hope that has always encouraged the church through very difficult times, through the good times. There's always been this hope, Jesus is coming back. One hope, the scripture here says, of your calling. Now I want to turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4 and read some of these verses that emphasize this hope. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 14. "If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that are fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive, that are left unto the coming of the Lord, shall in no wise precede them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." The promise there, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. He's coming back. The promise that those who have died in the Lord aren't going to be somehow left behind or forgotten. They're going to be raised. Those that have died, trusting in the Lord all down through the years, here the promise is they're going to be raised. Maybe some of you have loved ones that are dead. You go out to the cemetery and you stand by the grave and you remember that person that you loved. May have been a husband, may have been a wife, maybe a father, a mother, or a child. And you think about them. And you have this comfort that if they knew the Lord, this separation isn't going to be forever. There's a time coming when they're going to be raised. There's a time coming when, for those of us who are Christians, it says, "We that are alive that are left shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." And there's this wonderful hope, this blessed hope. Jesus is coming back. We live in a world that is full of perplexity and fear. Some people are really afraid. Recently, I heard a Christian girl talking about the fear she felt at times, even as she thought of the possibility of a nuclear war or something like this. It's a fearful thing to contemplate really what can happen, what would happen if major nations would unleash their most powerful weapons. And yet the Christian, through all of the uncertainty and the danger that there is in this world, the Christian can constantly remember Jesus is coming back, and he's the one who's going to bring peace. He's the one who's going to bring rest to this world. There's hope. There's hope. We're not without hope. It's true there are problems. It's true there's discouragement. But there's hope. There's hope for us as Christians. There's hope for those who may be going through suffering, through sickness. There's the wonderful hope. We're going to receive new bodies. We're going to receive new bodies. Maybe you've buried someone and their body was just absolutely worn out, just devastated by sickness and by disease, perhaps by cancer. And you saw that loved one just waste away until there was nothing left but just a shell, skin and bone, and finally the life itself was gone. And you buried what was left of this one that you loved. And maybe you remember a time when that person was very strong and hearty and vigorous and very useful. And then came the time of weakness and sickness and a time when they were just wasted away to nothing. The hope, you see, there's a new body. A new body the Lord is going to give. And that old body that was worn out, that came to the end in great weakness and failure, is going to be raised in power, he says in 1 Corinthians 15. It's a glorious hope for the church. There's a hope that when the Lord Jesus comes back and his church is with him, that then he's going to set up his kingdom. There's going to be peace. There's going to be justice. There's going to be righteousness. Wonderful hope for the church. And this we have constantly before us. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is returning. And that this world is not going to go on just forever in this way, but that the time is coming when Jesus will return. The hope of the church. And I think of how wonderful it will be as we think of the Lord Jesus coming, no longer there being the war, the injustice, the pain, all that's involved, but there's a day coming when there's going to be peace, there's going to be righteousness, there's going to be joy on this earth instead of all the unhappiness and pain there is at present. Now, as we move on in this chapter, verse 5 talks about the Lord Jesus. Christians believe certain things about Jesus. It says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. What do you believe about Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus is Lord? And this is really a statement of his deity, isn't it? If I say Jesus is Lord, I am saying Jesus is God. If I say Jesus is Lord, I'm acknowledging his claims when he said before Abraham was born, I am. I'm acknowledging his claims when he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. I'm acknowledging the truth when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Jesus claimed to be God. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. Jesus claimed to be without beginning, without end. He could say, he that has seen me has seen the Father. So that here there is truth about Jesus that Christians believe. One Lord. And when we become Christians, we acknowledge that fact. Who do men that say that I am? He asked his disciples. And they said, well, they say different ones. Some say you're one prophet, and some say another prophet. He said, who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of the living God. You're not just a man like we are. You're different. You're different. You're the God-man. You're unique. There's no one else like you. And Christians believe that. They don't think that Jesus was simply the finest man that ever lived. They don't believe that he was simply a great teacher. They believe that he was God revealed in human form. That there is a unique coming together of God and man, of deity and humanity, and that Jesus is God. And so we worship him. And he took worship when he was here. You remember that Thomas fell down before him and he said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus didn't rebuke him. The angels do. If men fall down to worship angels, the angels say, hey, stop. I'm not God. You don't worship me. You worship only God. But people, men and women, fell down before Jesus when he was here. And they worshiped him. And he accepted it. Because he is God. Christians believe Jesus is Lord. One Lord. Truth about Jesus. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So that a crucial part of becoming a Christian is recognizing the claims of Jesus, acknowledging those claims, bowing low before him, and saying, Lord Jesus. Have you ever done that? Has there ever been a time when this truth has gripped you and you've realized, yes, he is the Son of God. Yes, he is the Savior. Yes, he died for me. And when just as a sinner you said, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. I believe you died for me. I hope you can say that.